So, my next guest on the High Cost of Living podcast has had a professional boxing career that lasted over 25 years. He has a record of 54 fights, 43 wins, 10 L's, and one draw. Fighting out of Vancouver, British Columbia, Tony Kidfire Pett. Thanks a million for doing this. Anyway, I was
No
really
problem.
excited about it.
My pleasure.
Obviously, we're going to have a quick chat about your boxing career and, you know, your life journey and whatnot.
Sure.
You fought some really iconic names in boxing, Mayweather, and you also fought like Ricky Hatton.
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about that. And you also told me that you trained with Barry McGuigan.
Yes, I
Yeah.
trained with. I was chief sparring partner for Barry McGuigan on two of his fights,
Yeah.
and I got to meet Barry. Great dude,
Yeah.
excellent guy. Yep.
So tell me, like, what was it like growing up around here? A bit about it.
Around here it was pretty. It was rough. Let's see, I never knew my father, and my mom was a heroin addict, unfortunately, and I lost her when I was 12 years old. So
Oh,
I had no
man.
brothers and sisters. So growing up around here was, it was rough for me a little bit, I had no parents, no brothers, no sisters. I was put in some group homes, which I was running away from quite a bit. And whenever they found me, like they'd have a social worker that was assigned to you when you're underage, right? And if you go missing, they got to see if they can find you. Well, she always found me in school, right? I
Yeah.
was always in school, wherever I stayed at my buddy's house or whatever. And I stayed in school. So finally they said when I was 16, they said, okay, look, you're in school, you're staying in school, we will pay for your rent if you stay in school or get a job, right? And I said, okay. So at 16 I had my own place, right? So you can imagine where all the kids went
Yeah,
to my place
fend for yourself at
after
such
dinner,
a young
after
age.
yeah. But they were, they were paying my food and stuff, but I had to get up and go to school,
Yeah.
and go to the gym and stuff like that on my own. And
Stick to the routine.
yeah, I turned
Yeah.
pro at 17.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry to hear about your mom passing away at such a tough age, 12 years old.
Yeah, it was a long time ago now, and you don't truly get over it, but you
Of
just
course.
carry on.
Yeah. Well, I suppose at 12, you're just coming into your teen years. Is that
Yeah.
kind of when you
Yeah.
focus more on boxing?
I was in it already. I had started at a Hastings at a community center where I started at a community center where they were just, going through the motions. They had some guy there who was putting young kids through exercises and whatnot. And the thing was, it was a community center, and I was living by myself before. I mean, well, before that, my mom couldn't afford a gym, but this place was $5 a year at the community center. So
Awesome.
I was there for about a year or two, and a fella came into my gym, and he just pole-axed our best fighter, and I was like, wow. And he was a tall, skinny black guy like me, right? Well, not really tall. I was just skinny then, though.
Yeah, and you trained around here, didn't you?
There, right where that place is, that used to be a gym. Right where the blue door is,
Are
that
you
used to be,
serious?
yeah, that was the
You used
gym.
to train in there?
Yes.
That's
It's
mad.
funny because I told somebody, I said, I used to train in here, man. Yeah, that was the blue door, plus another building was the gym
Yeah.
at one time, yeah,
That's
back
going
in
back.
the 80s. Anyway, yeah, and I said, wow, I want to fight like that guy. And that guy ended up being Michael Olajide, who was a big fighter who came out of here too. He fought Tommy Hearns and
Oh,
whatnot. And
okay.
I seen him fight, so I ended up going to their gym. And when I went to their gym, I started to learn. His father was the coach. And actually, Michael was born in Liverpool,
Right.
and they moved here after.
Okay.
So me and Michael and a couple other fighters, we turned pro at 17. But anyways, I was with that, I joined their gym, I learned how to fight, and at 17, I turned professional. And
And that was the same gym that where Blue Door is now.
no, that wasn't the same gym. It was I was at the Blue Door. That gym used to be a rival gym of ours. I was at a gym called the Kingsway Boxing Center up on 29th and Main, and we were always told that the gym downtown was no good. They had a bunch of bums, which they did. They didn't have the best fighters, and they had some pros, some club fighters that were there that had a record of 10 wins, 10 losses, and they
Yeah.
had jobs, and they were. So I never really wanted to go to that gym, but unfortunately, that was the only gym. When my trainer left he left the gym and just left the other pros hanging and took his son to New York. And so I had two choices, either to quit or to if I wanted to carry on as a professional, go to the other gym, which I was told never to go to. And I went there.
What was like the moment where you knew, okay, I can make a living boxing professionally?
Oh, gee, that was well after that. Well after that.
I started 82, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was a pro for 20 some odd years. And
it's a long career, 1982 to 2008, I read.
Yeah, that's
a long time. You had a lot of fights, and your record, man, is solid. 54 fights, 43 wins, 10 losses, 1 draw.
Yeah, I had a lot of fights, fought a lot of good fights.
42% knockout ratio as well, so that's pretty good, man. You've had an amazing career.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I bet you traveled to a lot of cool places around the world, did you?
Yeah, especially in Europe. I was in Wales a few times. I've been to Holland a couple of times and fought. Yeah. I've been to the UK many times and fought. And not only has it brought me to those places, even after my career is done, I started training mixed martial arts fellas, and then I went to Japan 5 times.
Did you?
I went to Manila.
Cool.
You know, the Philippines, and so it's brought me to a lot of places for sure.
Yeah, you got to see the world.
Yeah, I did, and I never would have probably seen the world if it wasn't for the boxing.
I didn't know you actually trained in MMA as well.
No, I didn't train in MMA.
I mean,
I trained MMA fighters. Yes, of course.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
But you just trained them as a boxing coach.
Yeah, they call it striking, and a lot of these guys. They usually have one martial art that they know really well, and they have to learn the others, because in martial art, I think boxing is harder than martial arts, because
technical life.
In martial arts, MMA, you just have to know a little bit about each one.
Yeah.
In boxing, you have to know an inside and out to be good, and in MMA, you just have to know a little of each to be good.
Yeah.
So when they come to me, they want to learn how to use their hands. They may know jiu-jitsu, they may be a kickboxer, but they want to learn how to use their hands, so that's where I come in.
Yeah, absolutely. You have some knowledge in your mind that, you know, only someone that's been through it can teach and coach,
for sure.
You know, you can have coaches that have never been in the ring, but I guess your coaching will be, like, irreplaceable to upcoming fighters.
Yeah, for the most part, but there are fighters out there that, you know, they could be fighting for a long time, but don't actually get it. There's pro fighters that are out there that are throwing punches just for one reason, to knock you out. That's all they know, right?
You were kind of a technical boxer, too.
Yeah, I was a technical boxer.
Your orthodox stance.
Yeah, I was a technical, you
and
know.
And tall as well.
5'8", 5'7".
Yeah.
But when you reach up into that upper echelon, I mean, they'll get in. They get in. And you have to be able to fight inside once they do get in. So, you know, I had to learn how to fight. I couldn't just keep them out because they're going to come in, and they came in. So I had to learn that I had to come up the middle, you know, like bam, bam, like that. Yeah. And, you know, then they go, whoa, and they get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Man, I got to ask you about the belts you have up there. I know you won the IBO lightweight title.
Yeah, I had that right at its beginning. When it first came out, the IBO had just first come out, and it didn't gain ground after.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's huge.
And the Commonwealth Super Featherweight title?
Yeah. I had the Commonwealth Super Featherweight title. Unfortunately, I didn't get a belt for that, because at the time when I won it, they didn't have belt. They weren't giving, there used to be a cup or something, and they didn't have any belts.
Yeah.
And what happened was, 3 years later, when I was defending against a guy named Justin Juco, who I lost it to, they gave me the belt in the dressing room. And then when I lost, they said, you have to give it to him.
Yeah.
So I never really had it.
So you just take a quick picture with the belt
that was
and then
it.
Pass it on.
I didn't get a picture of it. And the thing is I don't know why I gave it back, because you're not supposed to. But I gave it to him, and then later on I said, why did I do that, right? But
Conor McGregor, you know, he's like, where's my belt? Where's my belt?
Yeah, where's my belt? Still.
So
but,
your training camp, the guys that helped you along the way to get to where you were, like, what were those guys like that you trained with? Your immediate entourage
was. They're not my entourage. I'd left here. I didn't. Once I got to a certain point of my career, I had to leave here and get the proper training, sparring that I needed. So I went from here. I went to Toronto for a little while, and from Toronto, I went to Las Vegas,
awesome.
And I started training in Vegas for 4 or 5 years.
That's every fighter's dream to train and live in Vegas.
Well, I wasn't living there. I was lucky enough to get... See, I went 10 years as a professional without any sponsorship, no nothing, not getting a dime from anybody. And
why so?
Because I didn't have a big amateur career. And that's how you get sponsors and whatnot when you turn pros. They see that you have a gold medal or something, you go, whoa, and you get these sponsors, and they start to get, yeah. So I didn't have that. I just started just, you know, a four-round fight for $100 a round, it used to be, and just went from there. So it took me 10 years when I actually should have been retired. You know, it took me 10 years to get a sponsorship, you know, to get my record up there where someone would say, hey, this guy can fight. So, you know, I had to go through all that crap before I even got sponsorship. But I just kept going, man. I even got in trouble during that time. I went to jail for some crap. Did 10 months in jail. Came out.
Where did you do the 10 months?
No, I did 10. Truthfully, I did it twice. I did 10 months, and then I got... It was just for really lousy... one was for a push. I pushed somebody, and I got charged with an assault.
But was that in Vancouver you did the 10 months?
No, I did it. Well, I did some of it in Vancouver, and I had... What happened was I got in trouble, and then I went... Once I was going through the court proceedings, it took a while, so I had eventually moved to Alberta and got my career back on track, and that, you know, that was... But then all of a sudden I had to pay the piper, right?
Of course,
it came up, and I didn't think that I would get any time because I had no priors. And I went there, and boom, they gave me 10 months. I was like, ah. It
seems very harsh for a push.
It was harsh.
And no criminal record.
No.
That's mad. And I bet that put a halt on your boxing career then.
Yeah, it did. But fortunately, it wasn't... Out of the 10 months I got, I did only 6 of them. Yeah. Right? And I got out, and I got...
I suppose when you're behind bars, too, you're just training like a motherfucker, aren't you?
Well, I was able to get, actually, my stuff...
Nothing else to do.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to get my equipment and stuff brought in there so I could...
Oh.
So what happened was I started training for a fight in there.
It's just an intense camp.
Yeah, in there. And then when I got out, I carried on the training, and I fought like 2 weeks out of my jail, and I knocked out some Mexican.
Man, you could make a movie about that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, later on, I got in some trouble again. And so two times I had to restart my career.
Yeah.
And but I did. I was able to do it. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I had the skills and I had the drive to keep going. And I did. And what happened was I matured late. I was a late bloomer, right? I mean, I hadn't done anything. Like I said, after 10 years as a pro, I had won the Canadian title. But, you know, I had a couple losses after that.
But
over in Australia and over in Denmark.
Two Canadian titles, didn't you? Yeah. You won the lightweight and the featherweight. But where did you say you lost them, sorry?
I lost my title, I lost my Commonwealth in England, no, Wales, a guy named Justin Juco, who fought Floyd Mayweather and Diego Corrales for the title also.
I see.
That's who I lost my Commonwealth to. And they had put pressure on me because his manager was a guy named Frank Warren. You know, heard of him?
I know the name.
He's from England. And they had a lot of power, and they gave me 30 days right there. You got 30 days defender, you're getting stripped. So, boom, I had to. And it wasn't enough time for me. I needed, usually need about six to seven weeks
for a
12-round fight, right?
Absolutely, man. 12 rounds is so intense. Your cardio must be off the wall.
Oh, it was. I had gone a lot of times. I started doing 12 rounds. I did my first 12 rounds in my 8th fight.
Yeah, you look fit as a fiddle, though, for a man of your age, I must say. Do you still train? Do cardio?
Yeah. I do some odd little weights there. And when I'm working with people, I don't just stand there and say, throw your left, throw your right. You know I get in there, and I'm with them, and I'm with them. I'm doing things with them the whole hour.
Conditioning.
Yeah, I do things with them the whole hour.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever pick up any nasty injuries throughout your 26 year career?
Yeah, 26.
That's pretty much my lifetime.
I had a hand injury. I hurt my right hand. I had to have reconstructive surgery on my right hand because I hurt it. I hurt it actually during my title reign as a Commonwealth champion, and so they gave me an extension to get an operation and recover and then defend.
Yeah, another setback, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was another setback.
The Mayweather fight, you know, how did it all happen?
I was, at that time I had the IBO lightweight title, and I was trying to get a title fight, because, and at that time, when you're in a position to get a title fight, your manager is trying, there's a lot of talking going on, and sometimes that talking can go anywhere from 6 months to a year. You're waiting and waiting, and they don't want you, your management doesn't want you to fight, because anything can happen in a fight. You get cut or something, you lose, there goes any chance of a title. So I sat for a while, is what was part of the problem.
Timing is important.
Yeah, I sat for a while, and I was a little older, and you can't sit when you're older, because that affects you. So I had had, the whole thing was, we were waiting for the fight, and then all of a sudden they said to me, my manager phoned me up and says, Tony, I got you Floyd Mayweather. I'm like, wow. I thought he was fighting Genaro Hernandez for the title. He is. They said he is already, but they want to use you as a tune-up. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, because I was tall, right? And they said, do you want the fight? I said, what are they paying? $11.5 US. That's it. That's it.
And he wasn't Money Mayweather back
then.
No.
He was Pretty Boy Floyd.
Pretty Boy Floyd, yeah.
Anyhow, I tried to get more, you know, I said, oh, we want more money. He says, you know, he phones them. You know what they say? They say, this is an opportunity for you. Never mind the money. This is your opportunity. If you beat Mayweather, you get his shot at Genaro Hernandez. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Well, everybody in the world is, and if you don't, you say, no, I don't want anything. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. Yeah. Right away. Yeah, you go, no, wait, no, I'll take that. Right? So you have to take it. They put you in a no position. So, you know, I took the fight, and I went to Colorado Springs, Colorado for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right there in Colorado Springs, and trained there for the fight.
Where did the fight actually happen?
It happened in Vegas.
Oh, okay. Nice. Wow.
No, Atlantic City, sorry.
And you went the distance with him. It's cool to even be able to look back and say that.
Well, at the time, he had a 90% knockout ratio. He was not at 130 pounds. He is the best 130 pounder there ever was.
Yeah,
that's for sure. But people didn't start recognizing him until he left that division and started in the lightweight. Then they started seeing who he was. But he was a super featherweight champion. He's the best there ever was, and he was there for a while too. As a matter of fact, he had defended like 5-6 times, and then he went up. So, you know, they're. In history here, I mean, we're looking at Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he shouldn't be even rated at welterweight, because that's not his best weight. He only went to welterweight because he had already cleaned out the other divisions.
Yeah.
So he goes up and he tests himself. Can I go up out of my weight, just like he did with Canelo? He went up again.
Yeah.
And he was giving up 20 pounds. But you're not going to rank him all time at 160. Right? Or you can't rank him all the time at 147, because if Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard and them guys were around, they were welterweights, he wouldn't even have fought at welterweight. He would say, I'll just stay at 140, because he's giving up too much weight to two great fighters, right? Yeah. So, you know, ranking him at welterweight, no, he isn't the best welterweight there ever was, but he was the best super featherweight of all time. And then you got to look at his record, everything else. Then you say, okay, maybe he is up there with the greatest.
50-0 record. Like,
no one's ever done it.
And yeah, it's an impeccable record.
But who's he supposed to? Oh, he fought Canelo, for fuck's sake.
Come on, man.
Canelo was the man. He's the man. They go, oh, he was too young. He was 23. Mayweather won the fight. He was 23. Mayweather won the title at 21. He wasn't too young. Yeah. Don't give me a shit. And Mayweather was 12 years older.
Yeah. What I mean,
and 20 pounds lighter. And you can't. And people are saying he didn't fight people.
Oh, he did.
Look at Canelo. Now he's like,
Nowadays he's fighting people like Conor McGregor.
He's not fighting. That's just playtime.
He's supposed to be fighting a YouTuber now called Logan Paul.
He can't take away what he did as a boxer because he's having exhibitions.
100%.
You know, he's making a living.
No, he see what he did against like Pacquiao. People say that he ran, but there's a skill in being a defensive boxer.
He fought.
He just doesn't get hit.
No, and then people don't like boxing. That. Yeah, yeah, people don't like that. I mean, like,
people want to see a scrap.
Yeah, they want to see two guys pounding, you know.
What he does is,
you know, I don't even know how Pacquiao can be, well, I don't know. They're emphasizing everything on undefeated thing, right? That's what they do, but they shouldn't do that because there's people with losses that are great fighters.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And a loss is an experience, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the, you know, Pacquiao, look at Pacquiao. He has 7 defeats. They're still pushing him to be the number one ever of all time, and he has 7 defeats. So, that's, you know, what are you saying there then?
There's talks of McGregor fighting Pacquiao soon, but again, that's just
money grab.
Another money grab.
That's all it is. And he's going to take it for sure, whether he gets his ass kicked or not. Yeah. He don't care. He wants that money.
It's
like
the sport has just become a spectacle.
Well, look
spectacle.
At here you got Tyson, Mike Tyson fighting Roy Jones, and they're getting the biggest paydays they've ever had.
Yeah, exactly. They'll probably make more from this fight
than they ever did as a champion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is
so
crazy.
So nothing makes sense anymore.
You ever think about trying to get back in there?
Well, yeah, because Mike Tyson started a new thing called Legends.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I wrote them and they wrote me back.
Are you
serious? It's on my phone, yeah.
Holy shit, man. That'd
yeah, they wrote me back. It's called Legends something. And it's a thing where they're going to have older athletes, like, say, tennis players. Mm-hmm. They're going to play each other. Or boxers. Or golfers. Or whatever. Yeah. They're going to all, like, golfers, never mind golfers. They got seniors tour and everything else. But, you know, from their sports when they're older, he's starting a league where they can still compete.
Yeah,
and if that kills off, I'm gonna get in it. I've already wrote them. They wrote me back. They said, "Hey, Tony, thanks for showing interest and blah 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 blah." And
that's great, man.
So we'll see what happens. I'll do
it
again.
They should set up organizations that, you know, support boxers after their career.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, after you're done, it's like, what do I do now? I mean, like. It's rough, man.
It's
even
tough.
After
you would think that they would take care of their boxers that have come
they
through
are not
their
very great here. You know what? Overseas they do that.
Yeah.
Over in England and stuff like that, they take care of their fighters. They pay them well and they get paid well. And you know, if you know, truthfully, you know, I doing what I did, it would have been better off for me to be British.
Yeah. No.
yeah, for sure. You know. Because they don't even recognize it here, especially in Canada, you know. I won the Commonwealth title. Over in Calgary, actually, they gave me more. I was from Vancouver, but I was living in Calgary, but I got more publicity in Calgary than I did here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should set up like a pension fund or something, anything, you know.
Oh, they don't want to do that.
That's madness. I have to ask you about Barry McGuigan. He's one of the most decorated boxers to ever come out of Ireland, and I know you trained with him in, was it 2 camps?
Yes, yeah, 2 camps.
So, how did that come about?
Well, I just got, my manager is the one who sets it up. He was from Ireland, actually. His name was Tony Dowling.
Okay.
And he was from there, and he was my manager. He was living here, and he somehow, they connected. See, my manager, like I said, when I went to him, he had a lot of fighters, but they weren't good fighters. They were opponents. But with that, you get connections, whether you have good or bad fighters. If you have a bunch of opponents, well, you still are talking with these people, and you're building their fighters up.
Yeah.
But you're talking with them, so he had connections. Whether you know, and I could fight. I knew I could fight, so it didn't matter. So he set that up, and they gave me a call. They said, "You want to go train with Barry McGuigan?" I said, "Yeah, really."
Where was it?
In Luton.
Luton.
You know where Luton is in England?
Yeah.
It's at the Vauxhall Motors.
Cool.
Play. It's called the Vauxhall Motors, and they had a gym there, and I went there and I trained with him.
Yeah, he's a promoter over there now, actually.
Yeah. Where?
In the UK.
Oh yeah.
And his son Shane McGuigan.
Yeah, he's a trainer.
He's a trainer. Yeah, he trained like David Hay and Carl Frampton. You know.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
He's another guy.
That's right, Carl Frampton. So I trained there with Barry, and I had a good time. Barry's a great, great man. You know, he was great with me. He became my friend, you know. Mm. And then I went home, and they called me again to come out for another fight. And I said, sure.
You did a good job the first time, right?
Yeah. So it was good. It was really a good experience for me.
It's exciting, too. It's an exciting career. You could just get a call. Hey, you want to fly over to the UK? Like,
well, the thing was I watched Barry McGuigan when I was growing up, Mm-hmm. You know, like when I was 17, 18, he was right in there then.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was really neat to go and spar with someone who I was watching on TV.
Getting a call off a guy you grew up watching, that's when you know you made it.
Yeah, well, you know you made it once you get in there and you can hang in there. And that's what I found out when I went to Vegas. You know, you get to Vegas and you're going, whoa, here's all, and you start seeing people you see on TV and you start going, then they ask, you know, you start sparring with these people and it's like, hey, I can handle this, I can do this, you know. It's just that they're on TV and you weren't.
And there's so much to it, man, like the technical side, the cardio, your skill set, you know, you got to stay 10 steps ahead. It's insane.
People don't know the technical, like the technical things of boxing, like, you know, I'll punch it. I'll go like this so the guy makes the move over there and then throw there. It's just something like that, right? Yeah. Going like there so he goes like that.
Yeah.
But I know he's going to go there, so I throw it just a little off him, and he'll take it. I know he'll take it.
Even
bam, right? So then, you know, boom, bang.
But you know the, like, the science in the sport these days, like the facilities that they have in these training centers is, like, way different than it was 20 years ago. Like.
But still, that doesn't beat... I mean, if a guy's better than you, and he's trained well, too, and you're trained well, but you don't know his skill level, you're going to lose anyway, right? So,
it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, man. So, let's say that place does call you back, and they organize maybe a charity boxing event or something. Would you be up for that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I would. I would do it, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully Mike Tyson can get it. It'll be interesting to see how his comeback fight will go now with Roy Jones. Who do you got?
Well,
I mean, do you think these guys can still do it? Is it even safe for guys?
No, yeah, it's safe. They can do it safely, yeah. As far as safely, that can be done for sure. Who's going to win? I mean, Tyson's got to get him within four. I mean, it's the same as it was before, right? Yeah. I mean, it's no difference. It's like Tyson, you know, fighting Deontay Wilder. Same thing. He's got to get him within 3-4 rounds, right?
Yeah.
And Deontay Wilder, or, you know, you either got to stay away from the guy or catch him, you know, and the problem is staying away from him for 4 rounds. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's quick, too, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's still quick. He's still quick. The only thing he has against him is the time he was away, and that could be major.
Yeah.
That could be a major thing. But Roy Jones, I mean, he hasn't been looking so great in his last few fights. So, you know, if I had to put my money on it, I would put my money. You can't go against Mike Tyson anytime.
Yeah. It's really a shame, though, that there's going to be no spectators. You know, they'll probably be behind closed doors now with COVID.
Yeah, yeah. And though they were thinking about putting it on some island, too. They were thinking.
Fight Island. Yeah, that's what the UFC are doing out in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's not going to be a crowd, but there'll be a crowd watching.
Are you
a
UFC fan?
No.
Not really?
Not at all. Not really, no. No. Yeah. I don't, you know, I'll watch it, but it's so different than boxing, right? I mean, there's only a few instances where you can put the, where you can compare the two, right?
Yeah.
But it's different because you're not as close. First of all, you're not as close to the guy.
Yeah,
so there's certain punches you can't even throw because you can't throw them. You're not that close, right? You're far away from the guy, right? So a lot of your punches are just in the air and, you're not, because the guy's so afraid, he doesn't want to get too close because he's getting his legs grabbed, right? Mm. So yeah, that's a whole new thing. That's a whole different thing, too.
I mean, you know, if that place doesn't call you back, then would you think about getting into training or coaching full-time?
I'm sure you can find
an opportunity around here.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to, I'd like to get a gym. I'd love to open a gym down
here.
That'd
be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'd like to open a gym.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Or even, like, get a job coaching and then save up to get a gym, you know?
Yeah.
You could probably
working for other people, you don't make any money.
Yeah,
you're not
going to
make any money. So I do private personals,
yeah,
and I do them with people that aren't people that don't even box, you know, this is for fitness.
Yeah.
Not boxing, fitness.
Give them the same training that you went through.
Yeah, yeah, to a degree. No, not the same, because people don't want to be put on a, they can get on a bag by themselves and hit the bag.
Yeah.
So what I do with people, especially if they're not going to fight in competitive fighting, what they like hitting the pads, interacting with the coach, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I will do an hour of pads with somebody. That's what I do, straight hour. Yeah. Bang, 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 get them. And they like that.
Yeah.
You know, it makes them feel like they can, you know, and they look like a fighter, actually, yeah, after a while, yeah. And, you know, a lot of them take it just for self-defense, and a woman will take it for self-defense, even though she, if she shows any resistance, that alone may stop the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want any problems. Some gun's going to mug a girl. He wants them to shrivel up, ah, and yeah, then, you know, but if she all of a sudden goes, what? Right down and there, he looks, and he'll run.
Yeah.
He'll run, because, you know, someone might see something, it's... Yeah, so
instead of pulling out the pepper spray,
yeah.
Throw a right hand.
So it's not just boxers that take it; it's just people for self defense, for confidence, for fitness.
So I'm not going to keep you too much longer. You know, you pretty much covered everything that I had asked about. Is there anything you want to say to potential listeners, like upcoming fighters?
Don't forget about me.
Of course not, man. I'm gonna share the right fight
before
I post the podcast, because I found it on YouTube. And myself and a friend of mine, we watched it late the other night, and it's very...
You know what, I did
man.
Pretty good. I did good, like, I got... If you listen to the commentator, you know, oh, shit, you I got something. I got something for you.
Yeah.
You never heard this.
Unanimous decision.
Where's my... Distance. You know what? I got something for you that they... Know what they did? When they showed the fight, what they do is they take two camera angles and they show it live.
Yeah.
And then after that live viewing, they look at it and they put on, they'll, when they show it again, they change the camera. Whatever looks, the house fighter look good.
Yeah.
And they'll also go to commercials when they, something like in between. And there's a part there where Mayweather, I got to show it to you.
Yeah, yeah. And you say actually in your interview before the fight that, you know, he's got an American boxing brand behind him, and that, you know, they're kind of...
Well, what's my chances of winning?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Going there, fighting a medalist, it's a U.S. promotion, it's U.S. judges, it's a U.S. referee, if Bob Arum is the promoter...
Exactly, like,
how
yeah.
do you win that fight?
Everything was kind of more in his favor.
So, you know, like, basically, it's not you're going to win. I mean, you have to knock him out to win that fight. It's you have to look good to get better fights after, right? That's about all you got.
That's true. Do you feel kind of cheated out of
a little bit? Fight, a know? Little bit. I got him a fight too, one fight too late.
Oh, it's unfortunate timing.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh yeah, here it is. This is May. This is after the state. This. Watch what happens here. This is. I was supposed to be a tune-up fight, so the over and under was 4.
Yeah,
I was not supposed. There was no odds on the fight. No odds on who was going to win. It was already. You know, Mayweather's going to win. How far is it going to go? So the over and under was 4. They took this out. This is Floyd Mayweather. He's thinking he's got a tune-up fight. Get rid of Pep in 3-4 rounds. Look good. Go kick Junior Hernandez.
Yeah.
Junior Hernandez. The second round, I put it on him. And he went, what the fuck? He went right to his corner. And he started going, my other shorts. In the back room, grab my other shorts.
Are you serious?
Yes. And
what?
They took it out. But they showed it again, they took it out. I was with Floyd Mayweather and it, at the training camp with him. His dad put the fight in. We're watching. I went, and he's sitting on the couch. I said, did you just ask for your another pair of shorts? He's going, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I go, rewind that. He goes, no. So they never got to see it. When I left that camp, I went directly to YouTube trying to find it. Well, I don't even think the phones had YouTube or whatever. I'm not sure. It was just starting then. Anyhow, I could not find that. Because they took it out.
Took it out.
And they put a commercial in there.
Did he change his shorts?
No. His dad said, never mind that nonsense. What? He wouldn't be able to change his shorts. What's he going to do? Take his shorts off in front of everybody? He's just going to jockstrap his ass? No one does that. You just fight with him ripped. But he panicked. Mm-hmm. And whenever I read about the fight, people are still commenting on the fight. 2020. And people say, ah, Tony, put it behind you. It's over. I go, put it behind me. These guys are bringing it up still. You know, and I say, I want to put that in there. I want to show people that
Let
highlight.
Let people know
that he was not, you know, oh, he kicked. Pep was rubbish, this guy says, blah, blah, blah. How am I rubbish when I just went 10 rounds and the guy's knocking everybody? Yeah. So anyways, I read that stuff, and I want people to know that I gave him a hard time. Everyone thinks he handled me easily. Listen to this.
I don't think so.
Listen to this. Watch.
If it was easy, he would have knocked you
watch
out.
Watch this. I'm going to be going one hand. Watch what I put on him here.
See.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hook. Yeah. No, watch what he does. Right to his corner. Right the shorts. They're getting heavy. He said they're getting heavy. He wore those shites. Even the commentator's dad goes, listen. The commentator will say, what do you say? Think of that, what he just said. He avoids it. Watch. He'll go, what do you think of that, Dave? He won't acknowledge what he just said. Listen, watch. Tremendous package by Mayweather. Yeah. He didn't say. He said, what do you think of what he just said? Grabbing the shorts and stuff. And he went, I can't comment. They can't. Fuck him. He's a tremendous package, Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, he didn't acknowledge what he was saying.
Yeah,
that alone tells you.
He was rattled, man.
Oh, he was. He was stuttering, going, my shorts in the back room. He was shitting bricks. And his dad said, never mind that nonsense. Just go ahead and take care of your business. He wore those shorts, those same shorts, in two fights prior to mine, not right, maybe two fights before and then four fights. Mm-hmm. Same shorts. They didn't get heavy in those fights.
Yeah,
he knocked those
guys
out. Yeah, they're getting heavy. They're leather shorts. It's thin leather he was wearing. They're getting heavy. How about water absorbed by leather? I doubt it. Anyhow.
You're giving it to him, though. See, before the bell went.
Yeah,
went
and
he went
right to the corner.
Shots.
He went right to the corner and said, my shorts in the back room, grab them. Well, what is he? Jeff Mayweather, he's telling Jeff to grab. He's going to grab shorts and he's going to go. No one's done that.
In front of everyone.
How embarrassing. But they took that off.
Yeah,
and they put
a
commercial there.
Do you remember fighting Ricky Hatton?
Yeah. 4 days notice.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why 4 days notice?
Yes.
Like, he's huge in the UK.
Yes, 4 days notice. You know why? They
Ricky
gave me
Hitman
the best,
Hatton.
They gave me the best money. They paid for it. That was a setup fight.
Yeah.
It was a setup. I mean, it was fixed, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they fix fights now. They will get the fighter to say, you're training in, say, 5 weeks. Then they look for the opponent with 2 weeks left or three. What happened to me was his opponent got cut a week prior to the fight.
And you stepped
and they
in.
needed somebody with a name, because this guy was from Ireland, the guy who was fighting, big name, and so it was a big fight. They needed someone with a name that the English knew who they could bring over there. So they bring, I wasn't even that weight. I was still a fucking lightweight, super feather.
Yeah. And as you said, when you're kind of at the back end of your career,
you have
to take these fights.
So I had to take it, right? And then so I go, after what happened was I knew I had 4 rounds. Going in there, I said, I got 4 rounds to do it or, I'm going to be too tired.
Yeah.
Sure enough, it was 4 rounds. But I cut him.
I cut him
on the fight. I cut him, and they had like 4 guys are in his corner. The promoter, they're all going, oh my God.
Blood out.
They were freaking. You got to get him out of there. And I got tired.
Because
I only had 4 days notice.
Yeah, of course, man. You didn't get to prepare.
That's why I only went four with Ricky Hatton. I went 10. Mayweather gave me 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Hatton gave me 4 days.
Hatton's a different animal as well. Like, what
was
at the peak of his career, wasn't he?
Yeah. But if I would have been, if I had 6 weeks of training, I was doing good with him until I got stopped, right?
Yeah.
I had him cut. And that was a punch that cut him. They say, if you look. They were saying, oh, it was a headbutt. No, it wasn't. It was. You can see the shot. They replayed it. But I didn't have... If I was in shape, I would have just played with that and moved, but I got tired and I couldn't get off the ropes. I was tired.
Yeah.
And they knew that. So Barry was there.
He was
in Barry McGuigan. He was there and he said, but as I told him, I says, I went up and wait. I says, now I'm just go back down.
Yeah.
But I did. It was payday. They paid me. The best money I've ever had.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
It was way better. Mayweather fought 5 times more than Mayweather.
Yeah, I suppose the sport grew so much within that time, didn't it?
No, it wasn't even that. It was just that they pay better in England. That's why I defended my title there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Here, I defended my Commonwealth one time here. I got 10 grand. I go to England, I get 30,000. He's working corners now. I don't know about drugs.
I think he might have cleaned himself up and rehabilitated himself. But
he's seen pulling Fury's glove down.
Yeah.
he's seen on What do you think of that?
I know. Fuck. I didn't see it, actually. No, but
did you see what's going on with the glove and stuff?
No.
Oh, you don't even know? Yeah, that's because old media isn't saying anything about it. Oh, he took the shit out of his... He took stuffing out of his glove. And you can see it. They got pictures of his fist. They got pictures of his fist coming out. What he was doing was he was having the glove up here so he could flick it.
Oh.
And then when he was going to punch, you see him, he was punching with the inside of his hand a lot. They're going, why is he doing that? Then you see one where he's like this, and then you see the fist coming out of the left, like not out, but you can see his fist. Yeah, he's hitting with Deontay, but the media will not pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
The people are YouTubers and everything. They're saying, what the fuck is this?
Seeing something
they're saying what's going on, but they're not picking it up for whatever reasons. And it, you know what? I'm a Tyson Fury fan, and I was voting him to beat Deontay Wilder. He didn't need to do that.
No.
And I'm a Tyson Fury fan, and he cheated. I can see it. I'm a boxer. I'm a fan of his, but I see that. Yeah, he didn't need to do that because he had the skill to beat him.
Yeah.
He has the skill. He easily can beat him. He showed it in the first fight. He just got caught. He got careless a couple times. But he shouldn't have done that, you know, and he's got a history of that too.
Yeah.
There's history of him. They already got footage of him and the referee going, you're not wearing these gloves, and they switch his glove. That's in another fight before that. So he's been caught doing that. There's some things with the steroids where the farmer had the phone saying, yeah, he was paid off. And, you know, I mean, I think he cheated in that fight. I really do. I think it was because it's the same thing as me fighting Mayweather. You know, his promoter is Bob Arum. It was a top-ranked show. Bob Arum hires the officials, the referee, the judges.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden when they got the camera on, they go to do the gloves. The guy puts his jacket on over the camera. Yeah, so you can't see what's happening.
Boxing's best kept secret.
And then they said, oh, the guy didn't know there's a camera there. He just put it on. And, you know, like...
strange.
So, I don't know, man.
I think they ditched... they were supposed to have a third fight, Wilder and Fury. And they probably will, too, at some point. But they've ditched that to make way for the AJ fight. Which is going to happen maybe by the end of the year.
Oh, he's fighting that. He's
Anthony Joshua. And
but
Tyson
he's fighting.
Fury.
No, he's fighting a Russian, though. He's fighting a Russian who's KO'd everybody.
Oh.
So you better watch it. Yeah, he's fighting this Russian guy who's got 10 straight knockouts, Anthony Joshua is.
Yeah.
And I just read about him today, and I think he's a bit chinny,
Joshua. Joshua, he took that L to
Ruiz. Yeah.
That was unexpected.
And he didn't look good at all. He didn't look good at all.
Not at all, man. And for a short, tubby dude, he can go the distance, you know.
And then he said he didn't even... The thing was he had more time in the second fight than he did in the first fight to train.
Absolutely.
He had 2 weeks in the first fight.
Yeah, he was enjoying his winnings, you know. I think he got that payday from the first fight.
Yeah, it'll do that. It'll do that. Yeah. You got like 15 million. Yeah. Out of nowhere, you get the... And then, no, the first fight, he didn't get 15 million. You got like two. It's the defense where he makes the money. He got $50 million to defend against Joshua.
Yeah, I guess he didn't have to take the fight, did he? Do you have to take a rematch
clause? No, because there was no rematch clause in that.
Yeah.
The rematch clause just came up. I mean, if there was rematch clause when I had my Commonwealth, I would have put it in there. I mean, what that does is assure you another payday, because if you lose your title, your next fight's going to be shit for shit money, right? You're not going to get that big payday. But if you have a rematch clause, you'll get that big payday.
Even if
you lose it. So I don't know when they came up with that, but they're doing it. I would have done it too. I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either, to be honest.
A rematch clause.
You could have had another fight against Mayweather.
It's too bad. Mm. Oh, well, it's just timing, and what has happened. What it is what it is. And still, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I went 10 rounds with one of the greatest fighters in history. Ever.
That's what I mean.
Ever. Thank you very much for coming by and interviewing me.
Yeah, man, of course. I enjoyed that, Tony.
Me too, man.
Anything you want to say if people want to you to train them, you know, how would they get in touch, maybe?
Oh, just email me, TonyKidFirePep@gmail.com. TonyKidFirePep@gmail.com. Or, you know, you can go to my website and find me there.
Awesome. Cause like I say, man, you've got some insight. over 25 year professional boxing career, like, man, I'm honored and privileged to come by and talk to you, and thanks for doing it.
No problem, man. It was my pleasure.